You have your Bible, let's turn to Isaiah 49. Wow. You better have your Bible. Isaiah 49. Switch to the DI voice. That's exactly right. Isaiah 49. And I want to read a few verses here in verse 1 to verse 7. Just dealing with the title of just being fully surrendered to the highest calling we could possibly be involved with is being a servant of the Lord and being willing to serve Him wherever He'd have you serve. The greatest ability and what I personally stand strongly on is availability, people making themselves available to be used of God and to be serving in His army and being willing to go wherever He'd have you spend your life and live for Him. Isaiah 49, verse 1, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, hath He made mention of my name. And He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of His hand hath He hid me, and made me a polished shaft, and His quiver hath He hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob again to Him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And He said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to Him whom man despiseth, to Him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and He shall choose thee." And a lot of the context, obviously, dealing with Israel and being a servant. But what I'd like to just draw out of this and just point out and just make an application to it, a spiritual application, and just try to draw our attention to something that we should have in the foremost and in the forefront of our heart and our mind is being willing to be a servant for the Lord. And however and wherever He would have us to do that. And just a few points that I noticed as I was reading this and studying this calling and the highest calling, being a servant of the Lord. For truly, if we're going to be in the service of the Lord, it calls for us to be a minister, someone who's willing to wash the feet of others and someone who's willing to get involved with things that are many times difficult and hard to accomplish. Because it takes a lot of humility or it takes a lot of putting ourselves down and being willing and able. And like I said, making the greatest ability being availability part of who you are and making yourself available to be a servant of the Lord. And I believe the highest calling to be fully surrendered to the Lord, the highest calling is to be a servant of the Lord. And I growing up in a Marine Corps town in Beaufort, South Carolina, a lot of times, what we would learn as we would graduate from school and stuff, we would see a lot of people go off to the Marines or they'd go to college and they'd go into all these different areas in life. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. It's just what happens in many situations. And many times we find that there's a lot of pride and a lot of, it's almost like there's a lot of pressure, or there's a lot of things in this world that can draw people out into the things that are of this world. And then there's a lot of things that parents will make as a priority. And it's not the servant of the Lord that's made a priority. It's serving this world and giving yourself to this world. And, you know, there's things that I remember watching that would just make me wonder, because there would be like a lot of energy and a lot of excitement, and there would be just all this, you know, way to go. You know, this is the person, he's the highest in his class, this is the valedictorian, and this is the GPA, and this is, you know, somebody who just graduated boot camp. But you did not see a lot of that energy and a lot of that excitement for somebody who is fully surrendered in the service of the Lord when it came to being a servant of Christ and somebody that wanted to be involved in ministry. And so one of the things that I recalled from growing up in that Marine Corps town was to see a lot of that energy and a lot of that excitement. And one of the things that is sad is a lot of times we as parents don't convey that there is joy in serving the Lord. There is joy in serving Christ. There is joy in being a servant of the Lord. It may be difficult. It may have its hardships. But if all we can convey and all they can see is that there's hardships and that this is just a drudgery and it's just difficult, then it does not appear to be the highest calling. It no longer appears to be something that is just exciting and that there's joy in being involved in that. And it starts to look and appear to people that this is just not a labor that is worthy. It's a labor that is in vain. And to convey and to communicate that is, I believe, is of an utmost importance so they can see. Because really, we're in a generation, I believe, where we're faced with so many different situations and the world is constantly putting these decisions on the plate on what you're going to do and what you're going to fulfill in your life. And a lot of times, throwing yourself to this world or being a servant to this world becomes a priority, and that's the first option. And serving the Lord is not become a priority as much. Well, why do you say that? I've traveled to so many meetings, whether it was with my dad, who's been a missionary for 30 years, or us traveling, just me and my family going to meetings, and I couldn't really... I mean, I don't know if I could even count on one hand how many people I've seen surrender to the mission field or to become an assistant pastor or just like in the 90s, I would see people surrender to call to preach. That was just a thing that people would surrender to do. I would just believe the Lord would have me to preach and just or be a pastor. Whatever the case may be, the fact is the surrender, the full surrender to be a servant of the Lord, which is definitely the highest calling I see in the Word of God, is something that should be a priority, it should be an emphasis, and it should be something that we can convey with joy and excitement that there is something worth living for. And, you know, if you go to Romans chapter 9, verse 24, it's talking about being a servant of Christ. We're called to be a servant of Christ as Christians. Romans chapter 9 and verse 24. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Not just dealing with just the Jews. I mean, yes, the context in Isaiah 49, 1 through 7, definitely dealing with the Jews. But we're also called to reaching the lost as Gentiles, using our lives to reach others, ministering and being involved in service. And there's, I think, maybe a misconception many times in churches that, Pastor, you just need to give me the Sunday school class. I mean, I want to be able to do this or I want to be able to do that. And there's a lot of pressure sometimes on being able to have a position but not ministering before. And with that, you know, I've heard a guy say before, he's like, well, brother, you want a Sunday school class, but every time you get out of your vehicle, you're walking by trash, you're not picking that up, you're not serving in it, all these other aspects. And so maybe that's such a simplistic example, but the fact is if we're not willing to just serve and be used of the Lord in the small things, then why are we looking for things that are way above and beyond what we should even be getting involved in if we're not willing to serve and minister where we're at? And be involved with what God's given you. What are you doing with what God's given you? Your time, your ability, it doesn't always have to be your finances, your life. What are you doing with your life when it comes to serving the Lord and being a servant for Him? And really, the idea of ministering before you even appointed to anything, if you look at Acts chapter 13, lines up with that in verse 1. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. It doesn't say, let's appoint them into a position. What I'm reading here is they were ministering. They were involved with something. They were already serving, they're ministering, they're fasting, and they're praying, and they're involved in ministry. And then the Lord says, okay, you know what? let's appoint them to this work. And it says in verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. There was a lot of fasting and praying, and there was a lot of time that these guys had already invested. They had proven themselves that they want to be involved. They want to get involved. They want to be servants of the Lord, and they weren't waiting for a position to do that. They were already just out there doing it. I know there's differences of opinion on things, but there's some people that would just look at it as a need seen as a call given. Well, I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to say that, but I will say this, that every Christian who's given their life to Christ and surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ is called to reach the lost in some way, shape, or form. I remember being on visitation one time with a guy in our church, and I remember getting back to the house, and he had came over our house uninvited, and it was all right. I mean, that's sometimes normal with the brethren, but he came over, and he's just like, so here's the problem I have. There's nobody going out on visitation with us, just me and you. Every Thursday, it's just me and you knocking on doors, just the two of us, and I'm just sick of it. I was like, well, let me ask you a question. Do you go to work with any of those guys? Are you at the nursing home ministry? Do you get involved with this other ministry this other brother's involved in? Or are we just going to compare ourselves amongst ourselves? Which the Bible says is not wise. There are many opportunities and there's many places for you to reach the lost. And that means however the Lord deals with you personally about reaching the lost in whatever aspect, in whatever way, shape, or form that he could use you. Like I said, the greatest ability is availability. There's people out there that are waiting for all these degrees, and then whenever they get to the highest level of what they believe they've attained, then they'll do something for the Lord. What about using what God's just given you? Just using what God's given you to reach the lost. Using what, you know, the thing that dealt with me most in my life to get involved with missions, because there's five of us siblings, but it doesn't mean just because you came from a missionary home, you're going to be a missionary. That's just because you're a pastor's son or daughter, it doesn't work that way. And I will tell you this, what dealt with me personally was in Luke chapter 12 at the end of verse 48, it says, to whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. What am I going to do with the languages and the culture and the stuff the Lord's given me? And I'm going to stand account before God with what he's given me, just like you're going to stand account before God with what he's given you. What are you doing with what God's given you? And I mean, as of this moment right now, and why I ask such a question is because what is your faith costing you? I know many of my brethren, it's costing them a lot. And they're suffering for the cause of Christ. And I'm not saying that means you need to go into unnecessary suffering and try to go into a situation where you can be persecuted and put yourself in that. I'm just saying, what does it come down to whenever your faith costing you something? Because to whomsoever much is given, much should be required. Now, I think many Americans would misinterpret that and look at it like, okay, well, we've been given so much and we're some of the most wealthiest people in the whole world. And because we have so much, that means we need to give over to other countries and so they can bring up their poverty level from where they're at and they can better themselves. That's a misconception that many people, I would say, all throughout the U.S. have this mindset that those poor people, I grew up hearing that all the time. I was in New Guinea from 11 to 20 and then went back in my 30s to be a missionary with my wife and children. And a lot of what you hear is these poor people, they have nothing. I was like, actually, you're under that misconception because they're the richest people in the world. They grow their own coffee in their own gardens. They have gold, oil. I met a woman from the World Bank, flew in from Washington, D.C., picked her up at the airport. She goes, yeah, I've been here many times because this country, they don't know what they have, but they're one of the richest countries in the world. They have most of the resources that we look for in the World Bank. They have all of them. They have stuff that they don't even know they have. And there's things that you could see that they clearly, growing up there, you could see a lot of things that they had, but it was just not used appropriately. It wasn't, you know, what are you doing with what you've been given? And here's the thing. When I say to whomsoever much is given, much should be required, I see that in the context of that verse dealing with what each one of us has been given. And that doesn't have to necessarily mean with what we have in our wallet. It's talking about, I believe, giving of ourselves. And when I see being called to a servant for Christ, being called to be a servant for Christ. We're ministers before we're appointed. And then we're also, the other thing I noticed is we're appointed by Christ. We're not appointed by our pastor. We're not appointed by our mommy or our daddy or, you know, uncle or brother or somebody that had a great idea and anointed us with oil. We're not appointed by anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't work in any other way properly for longevity. That's my favorite word in missions, longevity. If you're going to have longevity and you're going to have a ministry that is really worthwhile and worthy, it's going to take you making sure that what you're doing is because the Lord called you to do it. It's not because you saw a great adventure. I've seen many missionaries come and go from the mission field because there is a romanticized level of missions that is not a reality. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 6, talking about the calling of Jesus Christ and just being fully surrendered to the highest calling that there is, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, the called of Jesus Christ. What kind of people is he calling? Well, the Bible shows us clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, the kind of people that he uses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. This is the type of people he's going to use. So in the end, we're not getting the glory. And many times, some of us amongst us that may get a little bit of pride or think that, oh, wow, we're something special, and look what we can attain. You know, when that thought does come, there's usually behind that, from what I've experienced, that there's something down the road that's going to knock you down really hard, and it's going to take a lot of humility to get through that, and then God's going to use that for his glory so he can actually affect other people. Because whenever you're so full of pride and think that you've got all this stuff figured out, you start also taking a lot of the glory, and you start getting involved in things that, you know, you start feeling like, wow, you know, this couldn't have been accomplished without me. And the Lord... And I tell, you know, people whenever I'm preaching many times, it's not the idea that God needs you. You need God. And for us to get that out of sort and turn it all around is to make the assumption that things can't be accomplished without God. So to be fully surrendered to the highest calling, you're going to have to be called to be a servant for Christ. Then also, I notice you have to be called to be a sacrifice for Christ. Not just a servant for Christ, but you're going to have to be willing to sacrifice. It takes sacrifice, and it doesn't matter what realm. I mean, in Americans' lives, many times that's sacrifice of your time. I mean, maybe that doesn't sound like a big deal, but when you start weighing out all the things that are easily sidetracking people, I mean, just the simple thing, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. When you start separating from the world and trying to pull back and try to invest more of your time and energy into things that count for Christ, it's going to take you sacrificing your time. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. It's not the idea and the mentality that many that I have witnessed to try to fall into this mindset of, oh, well, yeah, you're one of those. You believe in eternal security, so once saved, always saved, so you can live like the devil after you get saved, yeah. No, actually, here's the point, is we're called unto this free man and being a servant of Christ. So you have now liberty with a clear conscience. What a blessing that you didn't have before you got saved. When you came to Christ and turned it all over to him, now you have the freedom and ability and I mean, and the joy and the peace in knowing that you can serve the Lord and reach the lost and give them the gospel and have this all this bondage of sin, all this bondage of, you know, guilty conscience of all the things that you have pulling you down that really shut your mouth. Now you can go out there and use that freedom as a liberty to be able to reach the lost. I think it's misconstrued many times to try to apply it the other way, to try to use it, I believe, as leverage against what the Bible doctrine clearly teaches us in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, Ephesians 4, verse 20, all these verses. But the point is, the Bible says, verse 23, you're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. You're bought with a price. And in the end of all things, your friends or your family, really, regardless of who it is, they're not going to, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. There's no friend like him who's you can rely on and turn to when all else have forsaken you. And you're bought with a price, and therefore we are debtors. It says in verse 24, brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Give ourselves fully to him. You know, I'm not going to turn there, but Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, dealing with us giving ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. When you think about it, it's not unreasonable for us to give our lives to serve the Lord and be a willing vessel to be used of him to reach the lost. I mean, he sacrificed his son on the cross. The least we could do is give of our short life that we have here to live on earth. Eternity's way longer. We have such a short time here on earth to make an impact in other people's lives. What are you personally doing when it comes to making an impact on others? That doesn't mean that I'm standing here judging you because you haven't surrendered to a foreign mission field. That doesn't mean that I'm standing up here judging you because you don't show up to visitation. That doesn't mean I'm not standing up here judging you because you don't go street preaching. It means that each and every one of us should be faithful in reaching the lost and serving him and being a servant of Christ and realizing that we have an obligation to serve him because we're bought with a price. And to whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. Every one of us has been given way more. I mean, if we're going to take and consider the Muslim children, or maybe the JW children, or maybe the children right now that are being born into Buddhist families, surely if you were to look at that and then look at your situation, be like, wow, Lord, what in the world? What was this all about? How did you? You can't fathom all that, to try to separate all that and try to understand how all that happens and how that all that comes together. But the Lord has given us an opportunity to use our lives to affect others. And it's just a reasonable service. It's not something that's outside the realm of reasoning, and it's not unreasonable. You know, one of my favorite verses is Luke chapter 17, verse 10. When you've done all that you could, at the end of it all, just say, we're unprofitable servants. We've done that which is our duty to do. It's not something that I get to claim anything. You don't get to claim anything. We're just tools. You take bamboo and you try to send water through bamboo. You're going to get nowhere until you bust out every one of the middle sections. You can't send anything through it. It's not a pipeline until you bust out all the stuff in the middle. Then you can put it near the water. Then water can come through the bamboo. And many times in our lives, stuff has to be busted out, taken out. And then when we come, nothing. And then we're nothing. Then, okay, now the Lord can send it through. And then you can become a channel. You can be a tool that can be used of God. And it's not because you're something special, because none of us are anything special. We're just should be servants willing to be used of the Lord. It's a good thing you didn't sit in the front row, because you would have got spit on. So the thing is we're just servants. And what we should be willing to do is called to be a servant for Christ, called to be a sacrifice for Christ. And it's just a reasonable service to walk worthy of your calling. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Some of the verses that dealt with me about just being fully surrendered to serve the Lord wherever, because I would have rather stay where I was at because I grew up there all my life. So that would be my comfort zone. That would be everything I know. That would be a lot of things that I'm familiar with, people I grew up with all my life. You know, it wasn't the greatest thing. It wasn't something that I was even prepared for. You know, people like holding your ankles and crying down there at your legs and all that stuff. It was just something that was really hard to get through. But I have realized that if the Lord wants to use you somewhere else, I know it's a foreign concept. It's something that probably it won't even process for you. But how could somebody in a third world country grow up in a village and then feel like at home there? It doesn't make sense. But the thing is, wherever the Lord has you go, wherever he calls you to go to and surrender to that area, we have to be willing to walk worthy of the calling and the vocation wherewith he's called us. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Isn't that something? You know, to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith he's called you. Are we worthy of the sacrifice? And I'm not talking about, you know, works for salvation. I'm definitely not getting into, you know, something that would be completely contradictory to Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. I'm just trying to point out, when you look at it, are you walking worthy of the sacrifice that was made for you on the cross at Calvary when it comes to being a sacrifice for Christ? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 makes mention also of just being worthy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Something happened. When they received the word, something happened. They acted upon it. I mean, this is Thessalonians, and they're acting upon it. And Paul's saying, you know, it's a blessing that you're walking worthy of the calling. And really, like I said at the beginning, we're called to reach the lost. If you're a Christian here, you should be faithfully reaching the lost and being willing to be used. And unfortunately, and missions many times, abused. Because really, in the end of all that, the Lord's going to get glory out of that too. And it may not be the easiest part to go through, but I mean, in the end, the Lord gets the glory. And it affects other people's lives. And then behind it, you can't tell me all that abuse and all the, you know, being used and abused kind of thing that you'll face in the ministry wasn't worth these people getting saved. What a blessing to see the fruit of all that. And then not just that, but John 15, verse 16, that your fruit should remain. That's even more exciting to see others stepping in and carrying it forward and just being faithful. I also see under being called as a sacrifice for Christ, it involves being called unto holiness. Maybe that's something that's not taught or preached many times in independent Baptist circles, but holiness is still a biblical doctrine. It is still something that we should be striving for. And it would be a blessing that we try to attain to taking the higher road and not always trying to find something where we can try to find the line on how we can compromise to still be a Christian and also walk with the world and being conformed to this world. Holiness is a biblical thing. You see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We're called unto holiness. You know, for us to be fully surrendered to the highest calling, you're going to have to be called to be a servant for Christ. I believe each and every one of us that's given our lives to Jesus Christ and surrendered to him in salvation is called to be a servant of Christ. In whatever aspect or whatever way, shape, or form that may look like, he's called us to do that. We're also called to sacrifice for Christ, and we're called unto holiness. And the Bible lays that out clearly. Last thing I'd like to look at is just called to suffer for Christ. We're called to be a servant for Christ. We're called to be a sacrifice for Christ. But we're also called to suffer for Christ. You can be a sacrifice for Christ and not go through a whole lot of suffering. And I would in no way, shape, or form try to be an advocate for going through suffering that's not necessary. There are people that I have, the missionaries in here would also understand that there are people out there that go through physical suffering and try to maintain the idea that that's more spiritual. Yet at the same time, it's not necessarily more spiritual. It's something that maybe you put your family through a lot of hardship that just wasn't really necessary, but yet it makes for good prayer letter material. But I think in the end, we have to be careful with the fact that if we're going to be fully surrendered to what the Lord would have us do, we need to make sure that we're doing exactly what the Lord would have us do and be mindful of the things that we're trying to just please Him and serve Him. And it really, and I've said this to my wife many times, and it's not like she was completely excited to hear it, but the fact is it doesn't matter what other people think. It's what does the Lord think? What does the Lord want me to do? What is He telling me to do? Because at the end of the day, it's me on my knees and me with the Word of God, communicating with the Lord to find out what He wants me to do. If it's going to look bad to the brethren, or they're going to be against it or not on board with it, as many times that may happen, you're going to have to get alone with the Lord and say, you know what? I want to serve the Lord, please Him, and realize that it's going to take suffering. And sometimes it's going to take suffering right inside the camp, typically. And you're going to have to face a lot of that friction and contention as you strive to want to reach the lost and really be fully surrendered to what God would have you do. And it's not something that's always easy to face and something that, you know, is some of the things that you really aren't going to hear given in a class or a lecture. You know, many times you're not going to face a lot of that stuff to be prepared to face it. There's many things, as many of you already know, I mean, it's common sense. You're not going to get in a classroom. You're going to learn it going through it and being on your knees and, you know, trying to really, I believe this is just my personal opinion. It's just making my relationship with the Lord get stronger. And I mean stronger, because all of the things that come through in situations, whether you're dealing with a lost person that takes advantage of you or the brethren, those things just make your relationship stronger with the Lord. If you're drawing nigh to Him, as you should be, as James tells us, He'll draw nigh to you. And if you'll draw nigh to Him, He will come closer, and you'll get such a sweet relationship and the help you need that you can't get from any. I've talked to people on the phone where it's just like, I've had random phone calls where I'll be in the mission field or whatever and get a phone call, and I have been tempted to answer in certain ways, but I've kept it back because there'll be is there anything we could do? Is there anything we could send you? And I can answer that question from a pastor that calls me just randomly. Or I have learned my own way, and I'm not saying my way is right. I'm just saying I've learned that if I can get on my knees, the Lord can actually provide above and beyond what I would have said out of my mouth, which would have been way under what I would have needed to be able to handle the situation. And that being said, it's some of the things that you grow in the Lord as you're coming through these things, and to be a servant of the Lord, I believe, is the highest calling. But it takes us sacrificing, it takes us suffering and going through a lot of difficult things so He can get us and mold us and bring us to a point. And like many missionaries I've heard, yeah, we went to the mission field to try to reach these people, and we were going over there to change them. And the missionary typically comes back changed. Most of the time, it's the missionary that learns more. It's the missionary that realizes that, yeah, that doesn't actually work in this country. Your whole model of how missions and how you're going to set things up, you end up realizing that the Lord wants to mold you and use you to be able to reach these people, but it's going to take being fully surrendered to what He'd have you do. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, if you were to study 1 Peter and 2 Peter, I tried to go through and underline and highlight every time. Suffer, suffering, suffer, suffered. It's just over and over and over again. There are so many times that the word suffer or suffering or suffered suffers. It's just all through 1 and 2 Peter. But if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. What kind of steps? Well, the context there looks like, if you're following along, there is suffering. That we should be willing to suffer. That we should be willing to follow in his steps. He suffered for us on the cross of Calvary. He suffered for us so others might live. What are you suffering right now when it comes to reaching others? What is your faith costing you? It's a sad day and age that we live in, that people aren't suffering very much for the cause of Christ. There's not a whole lot of persecution going on. And it seems that as you look around, people have kind of allowed themselves to just kind of fall into a I don't care type attitude, or like, you know, it's kind of like the day and age we live in, even church is like, well, I can take it or leave it. And really that mindset, that attitude, and the idea that, you know, things, it just seems that there's not a lot of suffering for the cause of Christ. They're passionate about their sports. They're passionate about their animals. They're passionate about, you know, their jobs and their careers, but they are not passionate about the cause of Christ. You don't find that a lot. You don't see the energy and the passion and the drive for people wanting to serve the Lord. And what happens is when that's not there, I believe, you're not getting more missionaries. You're not getting more pastors. You're not getting more assistant pastors. You're not getting more song leaders. You're getting more career-minded people. And where there is no vision, the people perish. If you have no vision for the lost here, where is the next generation going to be for the missionaries and the pastors and the song leaders? Where are they? They're not here anymore because there's no one to replace them, because everybody's wrapped up in their own little lives. They're involved in what they want to be passionate about, and it happens to be the things of this world. That's why their vet bill is more than their missions. That's why they give to the things that they like, that they love, and people are dying and going to hell because they're not willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. They're passionate about things that are empty. They're laboring in vain, and they're not willing to give themselves and apply themselves. Oh, wow, you can speak languages. Oh, wow, you have a GPA that's higher than anyone else. What are you doing with it? How are we going to have the next generation serve the Lord and follow in our footsteps if we're not willing to sacrifice? We're not willing to suffer. We're not willing to give of anything. But this world is getting it all. And we're wondering why our children are going to this world, because we're paving the road for them and saying, if you could just get a good job and a good career and maybe add a little bit of God in that, that would be a blessing. And it's sad because we don't see people stepping up to say, you know what, it's becoming less and less. Pastors talking about having a hard time finding a missionary for their missions conference, having a hard time finding, even meeting a missionary, walking in the door and they're shaking your hand and hugging you as the first missionary they've seen in how long. Why is this becoming a situation? Why is this becoming a real issue? Because I believe people aren't willing to suffer anymore for the cause of Christ. They will suffer. Oh, they will suffer. He could be pouring out rain. It could be pouring rain. It could be snowing. But they will be at that stadium. They will be at that line to make sure that they get that sale. They will be there for you name it. But they aren't passionate about the cause of Christ. And it's not being conveyed. Maybe we as parents have failed. I don't know. It's not being conveyed to the children that there is joy in serving the Lord. And this is an opportunity and excitement that, wow, what a privilege and an honor to be able to serve the Lord. It's not there. It's something that's now, well, you know, I guess it's what we got to do. And it's something that becomes a doldrum. It's something that's boring. It's something that, you know, lacks the joy and the excitement. And if you can't convey that to your own family, then I believe you're not going to see people surrendering to the highest calling, which is a servant of Christ. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while." Well, what does it come out of all this? Why do I have to? Well, it looks like there may be something that comes out of it. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. There's some things that come out of it. Wow, what a blessing. You know, when I think of Philippians chapter 4, holding forth the word of life, it's talking about that you're not run in vain and labored in vain. A lot of the things of this world is a lot of laboring in vain, a lot of running in vain, and a lot of spending of all your time, effort, and money for things that just have holes, bags that have holes in them. There's no eternal value. The Bible tells us clearly, lay up treasures in heaven, not on this earth. And the mindset has shifted. People don't, they're thin-skinned. They don't deal very well with hard preaching anymore. They don't want, there's not a lot of, you know, endurance in the race. It's, you know, it's like a bottle rocket going off. I mean, they look good going off and pop, it's done. Where's the longevity? And that's the key, is longevity. Fully surrendered to the call of Christ. Are you fully surrendered to the call of Christ when it comes to being a servant? Or are you fully surrendered to serving this world and allowing this world dictate what you should do and what is more important in your life, Pastor?